you all are not going to believe where I am. You can't get much farther south on the south side than we are today. 31 years ago was when desegregation started, with students being bused from the IPS district out to six different townships. One of them was Perry Township, on the south side of the city. And that's 31 years. That's several generations. There are people in their 40s listening to this broadcast right now that rode those first school buses back in 1981. Now, today, most African American students that attend Perry Township schools live in Perry Township. It is an area where the African American population is growing. It's an area where diversity is strong. The largest group of Asians in the city of Indianapolis lives not in Washington Township, not in Lawrence Township, but in Perry Township. So Perry Township is dealing with diversity. They are dealing with the same educational issues that all of the public school corporations and even the charter schools have to deal with in Marion County. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos, for the first time WTLC broadcasting from Perry Township. We are at Winchester Village Elementary School, where if I throw a rock, I'm in Greenwood. That's how far south on the south side we are. We are at Winchester Village Elementary School. This is a kindergarten through fifth grade. And this is an elementary school that they call an open concept. That means they don't have walls interior in the classrooms. And I want you to know that this school is quieter than my office. We got 50 people in our office make more noise than the several hundred kids that are in this school. Over the next couple of hours, we're going to talk about education here in Perry Township, the things that they're doing, also the things that Perry Township is doing, because the kids that are still being bused from the Martindale-Brightwood neighborhood, they're all in high school. And Perry Township has a goal that they want every one of those kids to walk across that stage in that auditorium at the end of a school year between now and when the seniors finally become that last senior class coming from Martindale-Brightwood to all get a diploma. Lewis Norris, who is the Assistant Director of Human Relations and Student Services, is in the house. Doug Smith, who is the principal of this great school. He's been a classroom teacher. He's been principal here for 4 years. He works so hard that he's sitting here with a busted leg and a little cart. I kidded him. I told him he was probably, you know, kicking the I-step grader or something, trying to get his grade from the state to be the best. And Ruby Alexander, who is a member of the Perry Township School Board, is in the house. 239-1310. 239-1310 gets you in touch with the conversation. You can send us an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. I want to first begin with Ruby Alexander from the school board, because you've been part of this historical bridge over these last three decades that has brought the neighborhood where you live, with this Martindale-Brightwood being part of the Perry Township family. Now we're in the last, was it 3 or 4 years, 4 years of this transition. There may be some confusion in the community. There is still DSEG going on from Martindale-Brightwood, but it now involves the high school kids, freshmen, this year's freshmen, to this year's seniors. Is that correct?
Yes. You know, Amos, I've been out here with my own kids in 1981, and I've been a part of the staff and now on the school board. And we really worked to make it work for the families in Martindale-Brightwood. It's like a community now. And so these last 4 years, you know, we're really working to make a smooth transition. We want all our children to graduate, and we're focusing on that. And we just, it's just been, you know, and parents, we phased them out over the years, and we make sure we keep them informed, and we have signs all over the community what grade level will be there when the school starts and everything. The communication is great. Mr. Norris and the Human Relations Department have been just really working to make sure the parents in my community are informed, because we want them to know exactly what is going on.
I've got to ask you, when you and your predecessors on the school board representing what Perry calls the Northern District, the Martindale-Brightwood area, you were the diversity on that school board. Now the diversity within the school district lives in the school district. What's being done to make sure that African-American parents and grandparents who live in Perry Township with their kids. They are engaged and as active in the Perry Township schools as the people from Martindale-Brightwood have been these past 31 years.
Okay, now, Mr. Norris would answer that question better, because I've been focusing on, we've been focusing on all the kids in Perry Township. And we've just, and you can tell from our test scores and all that, that we are focusing on all, whether they live here or in the other areas. But he can tell you more about this side of the community.
Is she a good school? Is she a good school board member? Well, then let me ask then a school board, a policy question, school board. Is the biggest challenge facing you all on the board of Perry Township how to make sure the resources are there, the resources are being reduced at the state level, how to make sure that you keep the level of education that the folks in Perry Township and Martindale-Brightwood have been used to all these years?
Yes, what we're doing, we have not cut in the programs in Martindale-Brightwood. We still have our tutoring program. We still have our after-school programs to work with the kids. But all school districts feel the pain of the cuts from the state. And, you know, and I was kind of sad when I found out they didn't really have some money. But we do feel that pain, and we're just working with what we have and trying to adjust to the loss of funds that we have.
The reason I wanted to say that, the reason I wanted to ask you that, is sometimes people listening think the only places that endure the cuts is IPS. And I know we're going to hear this in a couple of weeks when we're out live in Lawrence Township, and they've really been under the fiscal gun. This pain is real with public schools all around this area, not just in IPS.
And Amos, we were blessed with our community. We are open and honest with our community. So that we're one of the few school districts where the community got involved and passed the referendum to help us do certain things that we needed to do. And that's how we've been able to do some things. And we still feel the pain, because we try to give them the faith they entrust in us in spending that money.
239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's name is, we are out here at Winchester Village in beautiful Perry Township. Lewis Norris is the assistant director for the Township Student Services, Human Relations. In terms of the goals here in Perry Township, you know, one of them is to make sure that all high school students graduate on time with a diploma, hopefully that Core 40 diploma or higher, not just the African-American students, but all the students in, whether it's Southport or Perry Meridian.
Yes, we have a program set in place for students who don't do as well in the mainstream of school, whether it be Southport or Perry. It's called the Alternative Education Program. And in that Alternative Education Program, we really push the students to graduate and really focus in on the missing credits, credit recovery, credit accrual. And we just passed, the school board just passed a bill last night that we can get double credits for college and high school.
Sometimes when people hear alternative education, they think that's a punishment school. They think that's a school for, you know, folks that are in trouble. So when you all say alternative education, that's not a punishment. That's a way you're trying to help, you know, make sure that everybody gets a decent grade, that Core 40 diploma, no waivers. They get a degree just as good as anybody else.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we had about 238 students from last year go through the alternative education program. And in that particular setting, a lot of the students were not in trouble. They just they may have been homeless. They may have been out, or they may have been maybe gotten pregnant, or however the case may be. But a lot of the times, the students are not, don't actually get in trouble, but there are some that do. And those that do, we try to harness them and give them another way to at least look towards graduation with job performance, job shadowing opportunities. We just have a host of people who help us out with that program.
And I'll get more when we talk to the superintendent here in a little bit. You know, how strict are you all on waivers at the high school level?
We try not to give waivers. Matter of fact, what causes a waiver is because the student does not pass the ECA test, and the NWEA test. So with that in mind, at least, you know, that's the last step. That's the last measure of what we would consider, you know, walking through graduation.
So you're trying to you know, if they don't pass that ECA the first time, that's when you start working with those young men and women to make sure they, because you get what, three, four chances to pass?
Yes, three chances. Mm-hmm.
239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon's name is, you know, in terms of the academic challenges, what's the biggest challenge facing this district?
The biggest challenge? Just, I don't know if we really, we have, everybody has, I imagine it would be some mathematical problems or at some point in time it may be just trying to make sure that we stay in DOE's good sights. You know, we didn't get a good grade, but nevertheless, from last year to this year, it's not so much of a challenge with
systems. It's forces outside your control. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say. However, what I was alluding to was it's not so much of a challenge to students getting along with each other. Most of the time, it may be home problems. It may be community problems. It may be just the student can't function properly. So those kind of problems exist everywhere across the nation, not just in Perry Township.
We'll move over here to the principal of the school. When we got here, we kind of took a tour. And this school's a little bit different, and this is kind of, I could describe it as a school without walls. And when I say walls, when you look at a classroom, I might see two or three classrooms, and there's no wall between them. But as I said when I went on the air, this place is quiet. I thought I was at the Perry Township Library. Doug Smith is the principal. You all call this a school without, was it open concept?
Yes, open concept. Absolutely. It's as you mentioned, when you walk into our classrooms, you know, a typical school, you're going to walk down the hallway, and if there are 25 classrooms, kindergarten through fifth grade, you're going to see 25 doors. Mm-hmm. With Winchester Village being open concept, we don't have the doors. In fact, when you look into our classrooms and you're walking down the hallway, you literally can look into the classrooms upstairs and downstairs. There are a few dividers between classrooms, but it allows an open flow within the grade level pods and a great opportunity for collaboration and kids to see learning taking place all around them.
Yeah, what is, from a principal standpoint, because, you know, usually when we talk about different educational issues on this program, we're always talking with school board members and administrators and principals and superintendents of public instruction and then folks that are running for office that ain't been in a classroom in 400 years. From the principal's point of view, what's the biggest challenge? I mean, one of the challenges, obviously, this school district started early. I mean, you all started the end of July. And there's always this myth that, you know, kids, people in Indiana aren't going to show up in school at the end of July. What was your attendance like the first week?
First week, even the first day, was outstanding. You know, we have done a great job in Perry Township and at Winchester Village individually communicating with our parents all the way through last school year when we were looking at the balanced calendar options and hosting public forums, opportunities for community members to come in and ask questions. I think Perry Township did a great job of preparing the families and the community for the balanced calendar. And so when the first day of school rolled around for the kids, they were on the bus and they were walking through the door.
What's the biggest challenge that you face as a principal, you know, running a school, you know, in, because some people that are listening may think, well, Perry Township, that's all homeowners and they're all affluent and they have nothing to worry about. This guy, Amos, that school is paved in gold carpeting, real gold carpeting. But this is, Perry Township has always been more of a working class, blue collar area.
Absolutely, we are definitely working class, and specific to Winchester Village, you know, we have a few homes that surround our school, but the vast majority of our students come from apartment complexes. We have about 13 different apartment complexes that feed this particular school. So one of the challenges that we face every year is the mobility of families and students. So we'll have students with us for a period of time. We're lucky enough to have some of them here from kindergarten through fifth grade. I've had students when I was in the classroom. I had a student in my class for 2 days. I moved in. Parent came in and said they decided they didn't like the apartment complex and moved out. We have a high mobility rate with the apartment complexes, and that's a real challenge, is trying to get the students that are coming into us mid-year up to where we are in our classroom.
Is this something where when and we had this discussions with some folks in IPS and even in that whole project school of the charter school debacle, those parents and administrators at the project school were saying, it's unfair for you all in the media to judge how well we did in ISTEP. You don't know anything about our mobility rate. You don't know anything about the churn and the turnover that we have. Should, you know, when we see ISTEP scores for your school, should we keep in mind the things about mobility that we shouldn't assume, Winchester Village, they must be all surrounded by, you know, homes and cul-de-sacs and everything ought to be perfect, that there ought to be a little asterisk and said, you know, 20% of that student body flipped during the school year. How important is it when we in the media and the community see great, you know, your letter grade that the state gives you or for ISTEP, that we ought to know these other pieces of information and evaluate schools that way?
You know, and the thing with perception is everybody has their own perception, and the thing with schools is that every one of them is unique. So when you're looking at test scores, it's important to understand the demographics of the school. It's important to understand, you know, the makeup of the school. And one of the things, particularly to Winchester Village, the struggle that we've had in making the grade, you know, as the state would say, with our test score, is just the influx of English language learners that we have in our school. You know, our school is made up of 45% of English language learners. These are Burmese. These are Hispanic students that speak very little, if any, English when they come to us. And the state guideline is that they've got a year to get up to speed to pass these tests. And so when you're looking at the research and it says 5 to 7 years at a minimum to get up to educational levels with learning the language, and with the guidelines the way they are right now, these kids are taking these tests within a year. So it would be like me trying to take a Spanish test and not understanding the language. It becomes very difficult. And the one thing that I'm very proud of my staff about is that no matter what challenge is put before us, we step up and we do our job. And when we can have, you know, 45% of your students struggling with the language, but you can get a passing rate of 70%, we're doing something right. And it is one of those things, you do have to kind of know the demographics of a school before you make a judgment based off of a number or a letter.
We were in the lunchroom before we went on the air, and the principal was giving me, Doug Smith was giving me a tour. We went to the lunchroom, and the lunch was better than the lunch I had. But anyway, you know, and I asked the percentage of students here at Winchester Village that are on the federal free and reduced lunch, and you said?
We were just under 90% free and reduced here at Winchester.
Percent. A little less than 90%. The percent of African-American students this year, roughly?
And that was one that has varied as well. And you know, we had talked a little bit about the DSEG at the beginning of the show, and I think back when DSEG was in place, and that was when I was a classroom teacher, our percentage of African Americans in our school really hasn't altered over that DSEG. Like you said, we are having a lot more diversity move into our apartment complexes right now.
But you're not a black majority school.
No. We are a majority of minorities, but it's not a black majority school.
When you're 90% free and reduced lunch, that's working class folks. That's poor folks. And no disrespect, you know, to them, but people are listening. See, in Perry Township. See, y'all think in Perry Township, everybody's high on the hog. That's not necessarily the case. And one of the things when we have the privilege of talking with the principal, you know, because and Ruby knows this because she listens to the program. People will call up and talk about problems they have at the school, and we're always trying to educate folks on the proper way as principal. This is your opportunity to kind of talk to parents and grandparents on behalf of all public school principals in the community. How should, if a parent or grandparent perceives or feels their child is having a problem in school, from a principal's point of view, how should that parent proceed?
Well, if I had a parent that had a question of me or were frustrated with me, I would hope that I would be the first person that they would go to and give me an opportunity to alleviate their fears, address the concern. You know, if it's a concern that a parent has with their classroom teacher, something happening within the classroom, I would certainly suggest to the parents to communicate to the teacher. That open line of communication between school and home, that's the lifeblood of the students, and that's where the value of education is placed. So if there is a concern with the classroom teacher or something happening in the classroom, my first suggestion would be contact the teacher.
So you start with the teacher, you know, maybe on the phone, maybe through an email, but how important is that face-to-face eyeball contact first with the teacher?
It's very important if for no other reason that the student sees that mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, whoever the guardian may be, are invested in their education and they're willing to come to the school to do what it takes for that student. One of the things that we're looking at doing this year is creating some parenting classes and an opportunity to invite parents into our building and provide some of the things that they've said on a survey. These are some things that we need support with. And
you did a survey of parents. What were you asking them? What were you trying to find out?
We just wanted to find out, one, their perception of school and what they would like to see coming from the school. And the thing is, you know, many of our parents are single parents working multiple jobs, and they don't have time to be physically in the building all the time that they would like to volunteer. So we're trying to come up with ideas that we can share with them of how they can be involved and ask questions of what we can do to support them as parents, as well as the parents supporting the school.
So they were asking you, there were things that they wanted, services perhaps, and maybe classes that you all could provide here for them.
Right. One of the things that we often get questions about is, especially up in the front office when the assistant principal or principal calls a parent about discipline, one of the things we'll hear quite often from parents, I just don't know what to do with them. And they're looking for advice. And when we're dealing with discipline day in and day out, sometimes it's just a simple suggestion that makes all the difference in the world at home for the parents and the kids.
239-1310, 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos. I had never heard of this. Now, this is probably occurring at some other schools. I don't want to get any districts mad, but this is something, Lewis Norris, I have not heard, you know, before of schools reaching out, asking their parents, gee, are there some things that maybe we can provide you?
Not only, Amos, are we trying to reach out to all of our parents and our students, we also have a new program called Big Campus. And in that Big Campus, teachers can get in, email or text their students. Students can text back their homework assignments in case they're missing. It's not so much for the parents, but more so for the student and the teacher to stay in contact with one another. And that way we can help alleviate some problems when they come back to the classroom. Again, you know, we don't always have the right answer or the technique, but nevertheless, we are trying to put in place things that we do for students and for our parents, which gives me a segue to say in our family forum. Family forum just used to be in the Perry North area where with our Black African American students, but and for our parents. Now we've opened it up to the district, and we're going to have it in district-wide Tuesday, September the 25th from 6 to 8. We'll have all parents, any parents that want to come and be involved with that process and teach them and help train them and give them skills that may help them get to the next level with their student with the parents.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. I have to have a little ringer here since that lets me know that you're on the line. Let me start today with Victoria. Hi there.
Hello. Good afternoon, Amos. I have a question.
Victoria, are you there?
I'm great. I have a question. Now, is this, this is for Perry Township School District, am I correct?
That's correct. Go ahead.
Okay, my grandchildren attend two schools there, and I am very, very pleased with Perry Township thus far. This is, I think, their second year going, and we are, like, in the midst of, like, a family crisis. My daughter, which is their mother, she's very, very ill. And I called the school social worker and, you know, gave them, you know, the information about what was going on. And they have accommodated my daughter. And, I mean, it didn't take them no time. I mean, it was like they just got right on it. But my question is, how do you... address the issue of bullying if there is an issue
That's a great question. First of all, Lewis Norris, Victoria, she's grandmom. She has two children in Perry Township Schools, and she was very – what Victoria, the school where the social worker helped out with the problem, what school was that?
It was Perry Township. It was Perry Meridian Middle School and Grand Valley Elementary School.
Grand Valley Elementary and Perry Meridian.
Grand Valley, actually, I'm their grandmother.
First I wanted with Lewis Norris here and Ruby Alexander to give a shout out. They wanted to hear what school, you know, the school involved, that the social worker was on their case and did the job. But Victoria has a larger question, and that is bullying. You know, what is the policy? How do y'all deal with that? Because I think the more publicity that has occurred about the problems of bullying, how do you do that? Lewis, you want me to? I can start with the principal over here. Let me start with the principal, because you there where the rubber meets the road. Because I saw some great, well-behaved young men and women. But, you know, it don't take much for a well-behaved young man or young woman to start in that whole bullying process. How do y'all deal with that out here?
First of all, we try to be very proactive. At the beginning of the year, we ask each of the teachers to sign up for a 20-30 minute time for Ms. Wise, our student support manager, and our assistant principal to come around and explain to the kids that bullying takes many forms. We talk about the different forms that it is. It's verbal, it's physical. There's a lot of different ways that bullying can be perceived. We talk about suggestions for students in dealing with that, but we also share with them our bully prevention plan, and these are the steps as a school we will take, because as Perry Township and Winchester Village, we have a zero tolerance when it comes to bullying. And we expect our students to behave properly and like any other time when rules may be broken or safety may be in jeopardy, we are going to step in and take care of it.
How do you encourage the kid that's being bullied that may be afraid to tell you, and they sit there and they take it and they take it and they take it until they get to that Popeye moment where they can't take it anymore, and then they're the ones that have become aggressor, and then that's when the teacher sees the aggression, not realizing that it's the victim being the aggressor and not the other way around?
And again, we go back to trying to be proactive in that, and one of the things that we do great, especially at Winchester Village, and I know in all of Perry Township schools, and I would like to say, you know, every school across the state of Indiana, is you build relationships with those students from the very first day. You try to build that trusting relationship. But we also try to provide them with some tools as far as, you know, how they can address specific situations as they come up. We, during those bully talks at the beginning of the year, we talk to them about who they can go to, and if it's not a trusted adult in the school, maybe it's a trusted adult outside the school, and we would hope that from that point, you know, we would get communication from the home on things that we can do to help support our kids and keep them safe.
This may be a dumb question. Is it harder to be a bully in an open classroom setting where you got 2 to 3 classrooms all in a row and you got a group of teachers, you know, not only with eyes in the front of their head, but eyes in the back of their head?
It's definitely difficult, but I would also say, you know, it's difficult in a school in general because it's been such a hot topic. Everybody's keeping an eye out on and educating the kids. The kids are aware. So even if that one student who's being bullied isn't able to find the voice and share, there are other students in the school that will share on their behalf and look out for them as well.
So you're telling me that at least in your school and what you're starting to hear from your peers, that kids, those being bullied, are feeling more emboldened to drop the dime, to say, hey, this is happening to me, or to cry out for help.
Right, and if they aren't, the other students will look out for them as well, and that's part of our bullying and our character education program that we have here at Winchester Village.
Just creating an area where everybody looks out for each other.
Correct, it's that community feeling.
239-1310, 239-1310. Let me go back over to Lewis Norris. You know, from a district perspective, because obviously this is becoming, you know, a hot topic. The media latches on the most egregious cases of that. How serious is the district administration taking bullying?
In our district policy, we have a policy set in place that we have no tolerance for bullying. When two students get in a fight or altercation, if all apparent reasons that they are sent to the alternative education program, or they're suspended, and could be even expelled for that matter. But we have a no tolerance for bullying, whether it's cyberbullying, which is that's one of the stronger ones now, text bullying, sex bullying. There's a whole line of it. And we just got to stay on top of it and make sure that students are, you know, come to school safe and make sure that we create an atmosphere where they can talk to someone or get the message to someone that they are being bullied.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's After News. Name is, you got a question for the folks with the Perry Township Schools. We're live at Winchester Village. We'll also tell you about coming up next week. Next Thursday is the annual Family Fun Filled Back to School Celebration out at Coleman Middle School out on 1740 East 30th Street, the official back to school thingamajig for Indianapolis that Perry Township is responsible for. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls. The superintendent is in the house. He can't believe I actually am out here in beautiful Perry Township. He's in the house. We will talk to him. We're live from the home of the Wildcats. Winchester Village down in Perry. If I was any farther south in Perry Township, I'd be in Johnson County. It's After News with Amos. After these, on the program tomorrow, panel of pastors filling in on the program, Reverend Michael Jones, pastor of Progressive Missionary Baptist Church. He'll be in the head seat. On Thursday, live in our second hour, the president of the City County Council, Maggie Lewis. Maybe by then they will have figured out what's in the city-county budget because nobody can figure it out. Also around 2:30, we will talk to Council Vice President Brian Mahern because the Council Majority Democrats are stepping up the pressure on a city budget that was introduced last night by the mayor that contains a property tax increase, that contains salary reductions possibly for our police officers and firefighters. I wish the mayor would come down here in Perry Township and talk about taking money away from police officers and firefighters. I don't think the people of Perry Township would like that very much. Many police officers and firefighters live out here. Anyway, 239-1310, we're talking about education. We're out here with the Perry Township School Superintendent. Dr. Thomas Little is here. Welcome. It's finally good to be out here.
It is outstanding to be out here. Thank you for taking time to come down to Perry Township. We're a pleasure to have you here.
We were talking with Ruby Alexander, who's on your board, earlier, and we were talking about the challenges that school corporations in the Indianapolis area face. And I think a lot of listeners, obviously, they hear about the financial travails and troubles in IPS. But what Ruby was saying, and let me ask you, is the biggest challenge facing your district and others that this reduced level of funding for the services that the people of Perry Township want for their schools?
That is certainly an issue for us, simply for the fact that the needs are great, just great. People are struggling at this time in the economy, and they need help, and they need support services, terribly so. We have an ELL, English Language Learner population, that's very large here in Perry Township. Those individuals need additional help and support to learn the English language. Once they learn the English language, they do extremely well in school. We've got fine staff members to work with those children, but not enough, just not enough.
And this was one of the few districts that went to the taxpayers and made the case, this is what we need, you know, are you willing to make a small sacrifice? And they said yes, and it wasn't even close.
Yes, our community members supported us because they wanted to maintain the programs in school that we have. They wanted to maintain the elementary art, music, and physical education programs in our schools. They wanted to maintain a two high school structure. It was extremely important for them. The downsizing that we were facing, we would have had to cut dramatically into those programs.
One of the things in this transition you now have at the freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior level at Perry Meridian, at Southport, the last group of African-American students under the desegregation order who are coming from your northern district, the Martindale-Brightwood, and you guys have a goal here in Perry that you want every one of those young men and women to walk across that stage, whether it's this year, next year, the year after, or that final group with a diploma. First of all, you want everybody to get a diploma, but particularly that group.
We're not backing off on that. These are our children, and they've been with Perry Township for the past 8, 9, 10, 11 years, and we're going to see them through to the very end, and we want to have every single child walk across that stage, and I want to hand them a diploma. That's important. And we have one individual, Mr. Lewis Norris, who represents the Perry community, and he is charged, and his sole responsibility is making sure that every one of those children arrive through Perry Township Schools with a high school diploma.
And when you say diploma, this isn't just the regular. This is the real Core 40. This will get you into IU diploma.
Absolutely. There's nothing less to be accepted than that.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things we talked with Lewis Norris earlier, but I wanted to get you as superintendent. You know, there's now a controversy over waivers. But I understand y'all are very stingy on waivers. What's the policy and why?
We are. We're very tough on the waiver process because we feel we want to give child every opportunity to pass that test and get through that those courses. You know, our biggest challenge is our English language learners' children and our special needs kids. They have a tough time at times reading the material to even comprehend what it says. And from my standpoint, they're able to do the work in the class. They're able to do quality work in the class, complete the course, have good attendance, take the tests, come to the remediation classes. They're giving us 150%, and we believe that's why we pass the waivers for those children.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Athens. Name is, let me go to the phones. And Brenda, hi there.
Hi, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine.
It's always nice when you have educators on there. Hello, Dr. Little. How are you today? I can't hear you.
Just wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. You're the superintendent out at Perry.
He is.
I am.
Okay. There's a couple of questions that I have, and you can answer them in any order that you want to. What is the racial breakdown in Perry? Is there racial disproportionality in special education in Perry? And if so, what are you doing to reduce the numbers of special education referrals, particularly of black students, particularly your young black boys? And if you find that educators are violating the federal and state rights of those children in that group, meaning special ed, what would you do? If they're violating the rights of these children, as a superintendent of public instruction, you are supposed to protect the rights of these children. So if you find that educators are referring children into special education that don't need to be there, what do you do? Those are my questions that I have for you, and I really want you to think about them, but I also want you to be honest as you give your answers.
All right, let me kind of walk through the questions. What's the rough, and you don't have the final figures for this school year, what's roughly the percentage African-American in Perry Township?
Yeah, 8% of our students are African-American.
Are far more African Americans in special education. So we have 8% of the total student body in Perry Township is African American. Is the percentage of African American in special education, is it double that, triple that, quadruple that?
Well, Amos, I honestly don't have those figures in front of me.
From just a common sense, and Lewis Norris is also hearing it, is it a large percentage? Because at 8%, is it like a quarter, you know, of your special education African-American just in terms of eyeballing?
Amos, I don't have those figures to be able to respond to that.
Then the other question I think that's implicit in Brenda's question, if a parent or guardian came to you or came to your principals or even came to the administration and say, you all are pushing my child into special education, I don't want them there, you know, will the parent's decision be paramount? The parent says, I don't want my child in an IEP, I don't want my child in special education. Will that parent be forced to have their kid in special ed?
Amos, our decisions are based on a case conference committee decision. When you have a group of educators and parents sitting down together, developing a program that's best for that child at this point in time. There's also a process that if the parents would disagree with the school corporation and their recommendations, the parents always have the opportunity to appeal that decision to the State Department of Education, of course, for review.
Would it also be fair to say that there is probably a greater percentage of Hispanic and Asian youngsters in special education because of the special educational needs on the language?
I believe the challenges are the language, Amos. I think the challenges are from the standpoint of just learning that English language learners when they walk in the door, they're behind at that point in time, and it's tough to catch up. You know, the special education services that we provide for children are support services for children. You know, gone are the days where we take just a group of children in special education that we did 20 years ago and isolate them in a separate program, a separate classroom all by themselves. Special education services, the majority of our support services are provided right in that general education classroom where we provide teachers that go in and provide support services for those children. Those children are then pulled out on a periodic basis for art or for mathematics or language arts instruction. But it doesn't have the stigma today it typically had in the past.
Let me ask another question. We're out here at Winchester Village, which is this open classroom environment. A lot of times, the perception of special education has been, oh, this child, and again, perception, African-American male, hyperactive, doesn't want to sit down, wants to act out, wants to just, do their thing. And in a structured, unstructured environment like an open classroom setting, you know, some listeners might think, aha, they want everybody to behave. They would try to push that child into special education. And maybe it's appropriate for me to go over to the principal because he's kind of giving me this look like, wait a minute, you're going to ask me a question about that. When I looked at your classrooms, how do you handle a kid that's overactive, you know, that's in an open classroom environment? Is that... Because some of my listeners would say, that school would pressure the parents that they got to put them on drugs or they got to medicate them and put them on Ritalin and then classify them as special ed.
Well, and I'll tell you, in our classrooms, as we come across, whether it's African American or any other ethnicity, if we have students who are having behavior issues or just struggling to remain in their seats, we often go to the person that knows them the best, and that's the parent. And we will work side by side with them to create a plan and do the things that we can to help them remain in that classroom.
Is it also, because when you talked earlier about reaching out to parents and asking them what needs they had, and one of the things came out that parents were telling you, how can you help us be able to control them? Is that teaching them, you know, how to do that without, you know, doping them up or putting them on any kind of medication?
And you know, when you again, when you talk with the parents, you know, we've talked about it, you know, I'm going to know my own children better than their classroom teacher. Now, that doesn't mean that our teachers aren't striving to build strong relationships with them and the parents, but sometimes it's a team effort. You know, you look at that homeschool connection again that we talked about earlier, that's a big determining factor in the success of those kids alongside that, you know, the effectiveness of the teacher. So we always strive to build these relationships with the parents and learn from them. Maybe they've seen similar issues at home and maybe some strategies that they've implored or implied or used in the past. What can we do? We also have, thank you, Mr. Norris, we also have a process where the parents involved, it's called the building intervention team, where we sit down and we have a group of educators sit down and try to come up with ideas of what we can do to help support that child the best.
And sometimes that does not mean classifying them special ed.
Right. I mean, being able to, sit in a seat. We at the elementary age, you know, you have a finite amount of time for attention. You know, they say 1 minute for every age that child is, you know. So a five-year-old may be able to maintain attention for 5 minutes. And it just goes back to what you do in the classroom. How are you engaging the kids? What's your lesson plans look like? How are they involved with technology and physically active and getting up and having conversations within groups?
239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's name is, yes, you all are ringing my bell. Let me check and see what we're doing. 239-1310 or send me an email at praiseindy.com. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. And this is not for the gentleman you just finished speaking with. He seems to have looked up his answers. I'd like to address this to the superintendent because I think he really should know it. I'd like to also ask you, Amos, when you go to these, when you have people on your program, please ask them to find out the questions, the answers to questions, and just don't come with, I don't know, that's, or get back with you. That's been going on since your program was started, and it's tired. It's tiresome and inexcusable.
Well, wait a minute now. Let's be fair to the guests. The guests don't know what I'm going to ask.
Thank you, Amos, but please, you should know. You should know. You're there. You run a school. when Brenda asked for, I don't really want to hear about the excuses. That's the same thing they would say to children. When Brenda asked about the breakdown for African-American children in special needs or special education, I've never had one in, but I don't really know it that exactly. But I think you really should not you should know what the breakdown, period. And if you don't, you should say, well, let me get to someone in a couple of minutes or whatever and get that to you. And also, Amos, I'm happy that he seems to be knowing what the non-English-speaking people needs are. Let's talk about the needs of some of the African-American children. And thank you so much for your call. I mean, for letting me call, really.
All right, I appreciate it. 239-1310. Can we check on that?
We can.
I think Lewis is working on that. He's working on. They may have an answer by 2:50. You never know. Let me go to Dawson at 239-1310.
Hi there. How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. The reason why they're having so much trouble in school is because the parents ain't nothing but kids themselves having babies. That's my comment.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to Reverend Ajabu at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
I'm fine.
And I don't know who Anonymous is, but she and I are on the same page. I thought it was a little disingenuous, disrespectful even, for the superintendent to not say that I can get the information that Brenda had. Surely you got it on computer or something, and you're right there. Send somebody to go get the information to tell us what the percentage of African-American males that are in special ed. It's very important information, and I think he ought to be responsible for that and responsive to that and be able to do that pretty quickly before he gets off the show. Secondly, it came up at the concerned clergy meeting concerning the rights of parents with special ed children who may not know those rights. And Perry Township specifically came up as to us wanting to get someone out there to help us get in touch with the parents so that we can have a forum to inform them what they can do if their children are not getting the educational tools or the education that they are supposed to be giving, what they can do in order to pressure the township or school district to get their child properly educated. And so I am wondering, and I'm doing this on my own, I'm not representing the concerned clergy, anybody, so let me get that out of the way now. But when someone from the concerned clergy contacts you, and they should be contacting you pretty soon, will you be willing to help move and work with us informing the parents on what they can do in order to get their education to their child that their child requires?
All right, now you're talking.
Let me stay on the line to hear that.
Well, hold on, Reverend Ajabu. Let me make sure I clearly understand you. You're talking about African American parents who live in Perry Township.
That's right.
Correct.
Yes, sir. That's correct. Okay. I wouldn't expect him to do anything outside of his purview.
The reason I ask that question is the bulk of black students that attend Perry Township don't live in Martindale Brightwood. They live in Perry Township. So you're
not an issue.
Say again?
Not an issue. The question is it transcends school districts, Amos.
So
Brenda makes this point very well. That we find out when it comes to special ed, that it seems like if there's 8% in the general population, there are 28%, three, four times the percentage in special ed, which looks like that there is a special ed catch-all for children of African descent, and so especially males. And so we're trying to get the statistics so that we can make the analysis of is that being done intentionally.
All right. So I'm still confused.
Okay.
You want a meeting in Perry Township to reach out to black parents in Perry Township, correct?
The concerned clergy is going to have a meeting concerning special ed. The
okay.
parameters of that meeting will, I'm not going to set that. That will be done by the educational chair, and she will be contacting
and what,
them.
And so what would you
to,
want? So
what,
well,
what
hold on,
want.
Hold on, hold on. What would you want Perry Township to do?
To work with them in any way that they can to make the meeting a success.
But that's a meeting countywide or a meeting in Perry Township? That's why I'm trying to get some.
No,
some...
It's going to be it's going to be probably at a concerned clergy meeting, but it's going to want to have representation from all of the school districts.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that was a little bit different than what you originally said, Superintendent, and then Lewis Norris, I think, won't respond.
Well, Mr. Norris and I were talking. We're going to be hosting a family forum back in September. And September 25th to Tuesday, and for some of these various discussions to help our students at this point in time.
Well, that's good. And
again,
I don't want to represent the concerned clergy. Because
hold it. Ajabu, let me let Mr. Norris respond.
Yes, sir. We're not just trying to answer the questions just with just the Perry North students, but we're trying to help families in Perry Township as district-wide, not just, and I don't mean to say a scotious few, but we've opened it up to help all of our students, whether they're Hispanic or whether they're Asian or whatever. That's the real issue because, you know, the African-Americans have their problems, Hispanic have their problems, even some whites have their problems, but we're trying to meet these issues head on and not be closed-mouthed about it, but help them come be able to materialize as good citizens and good products of Perry Township. And there's a lot of African-Americans that have done great and graduated from Perry Township right here out of Winchester Village. And so that's the answer that you're looking for. It's about 8%, but nevertheless, we try to take those individual cases one by one and answer the problems and answer the issues that face us every day. We're not running from concerned clergy or from OCR or anyone else. We're trying to face the problems that we get. A lot of the circumstances that come to the central office are not created at the central office. So we try to answer and do the best job we can with our teachers, with our students, and with our parents.
239-1310, 239-1310, appreciate it. Let me take a break. We'll be back with more. We're live from Winchester Village Elementary School in Perry Township. In 2 weeks, we'll be in Lawrence Township. Why do I get the feeling they're already starting to crunch the numbers in Lawrence Township? On special ed, why do I have that feeling? You have that feeling? I think I have that feeling as well. It's After News with Amos, After These. All right, we're back. 239-1310, 239-1310, it's After News with Amos. Let me go back to the phones. And Charles. Hi, Charles.
Greetings, Amos.
Greetings.
You know, I had more of a comment.
Okay.
You know, I think that we really need to stop passing the buck and finger pointing at all these plans and plots in the black community to hold us down. I mean, I wasn't around, but I recall when I look at my history books, we didn't have much, but we got a lot more done. And what I really believe has happened is that we're so busy looking out for someone trying to hold us down that we're just not doing too much. Back in my day, I'm only 34 years old, but if you were clowning in school, you got in trouble, and there was discipline, and there were intact families, and it just worked. And what I believe is that clergy, if they're truly concerned, they'll get back to praying in Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible, and that they will teach us how to be Christian-minded, a community that helps each other. I know too many lawyers. I know too many doctors. I know too many people who have made it far and are black to say that there is this mass conspiracy that's holding us down as a people. We're holding ourselves down, Amos. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Let me go to William at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine, sir.
I concur with the caller that just got off the phone. I really believe that we as a people should stop passing the buck. There is an educational system available to us, and the ones that have been educated already, if we are not satisfied with the system, we should develop a system whereas the people that we are talking about, our young people, can come to a place where we can bring in our own educators and tutor or teach, whatever it takes, to tutor or teach those young people that are not learning in the established educational system. See, we have started talking about how the man is holding us back. And we have let our young people stand on the corner smoking cigarettes or drinking or telling jokes and while the teaching is going on inside of the school. Mm-hmm. And we, when the kids come home, right, we are not asking them what they learned at school. We're asking them to demonstrate to us.
William was on a roll, and the cell phone disappeared. Boy, see, that's not. I probably need to get somebody from Rise Learning Center to go help, you know, fix the phone system. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go back to a couple things. The goal of having every high school student that's in the class of 13, 14, 15, and 16 be able to graduate on time from your schools, that would include young men and women who are on special education. Is that correct?
It would include every child from the Perry North area.
Is it also that school districts today, particularly when a kid gets to the high school level, if they're on special ed and they're in that freshman class, that's when the clock starts on your graduation rate? So if that kid, you know, because some people say, well, the school will just throw them away, that counts against your graduation rate.
Every single child counts against your graduation rate.
So it now become in the district's best interest to make sure that more of those kids graduate on time in 4 years.
We're committed to these children. Their parents send these children to us to educate, to provide a good foundation so that they can later leave and go on to higher education programs, because we know the key to success for a child is to move on and go beyond that high school diploma and obtain some secondary educational experiences. So important. College is an important key for many kids and their success. And I'm telling you, Amos, we're going to get it accomplished. We're not going to give up on any one of them.
239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon's name is We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Superintendent. We'll talk with Lewis Norris and the big back-to-school 14th annual back-to-school carnival celebration over at School 110, Coleman School. Used to have Kip, but Kip left. They got their own little building over there, but it's going to be big. It is next Thursday from 6 until 9. And, you know, they got the free food and the immunizations and the karate and the clowns and Kenny's haircuts and the bookmobile and what have you. We'll tell you all about that and more. Also, in our second hour, Brian Mahern, the vice president of the City County Council. We'll talk about last night's budget, all that and more. We're live from Winchester Village Elementary School, where I think I'm making more noise than the kids are. They're probably hearing that. What's that noise up near the principal's office? It's afternoons with Amos after these.